Bonjour à tous et bienvenue, d'abord en français, mais je vais tout de suite passer à l'anglais puisque ce colloque accueille un certain nombre de participants anglophones et comme je pense vous l'aurez compris, va se dérouler entièrement en anglais. So, good morning and welcome to everyone. It is my great honor and pleasure to welcome a number of eminent scholars from India, from the United States, from Great Britain, as well as some close colleagues from Paris to this one-day conference at Collège de France entitled India-China, Intersecting Universalities. So let me first thank you all for accepting my invitation to put our heads together on a rather vast topic, that is the India-China interface, which is currently often tackled from a geopolitical or, let's say, international relations viewpoint, but much more rarely from the standpoint of intellectual history and cultural circulations, which is precisely our purpose today. And I must say that although it might sound a bit idealistic, I mean, to organize this kind of conference on the Indo-China interface, I'm deeply convinced that it's necessary for us academics to do so because whenever I circulate in both countries, whether it be in India or in China, I'm quite appalled to discover, you know, how ignorant these two countries are of each other. Of course, there are some, you know, let's say, business or trade relationships. You see some Chinese businessmen in India or some Indian businessmen in China. But when you come to even universities, I mean, you realize how ignorant, you see, the Indians are about China. And the reverse is true as well. So, of course, you might say that as the holder of a chair in Chinese studies at Collège de France, I'm, of course, supposed to talk about China. But as China is on the rise, or supposedly so, China tends to make the whole world believe that it can be apprehended as a self-contained and self-sufficient entity which can be isolated from its regional context and which can afford to be oblivious of what it owes to the neighboring cultural areas, the main ones being India on its western side and Japan on its eastern side. So today's conference will look at various aspects of the cultural interactions between India and China at various points of history. It therefore doesn't claim to cover the whole ground, of course, that would be quite impossible, nor does it claim to break new ground at all times and at all costs. The main purpose being to envisage China as integrated in a larger vista and landscape, as well as integrated in what the French like to call the longue durée. So the eight presentations of today will be roughly distributed into two large periods. So the four presentations in the morning will deal with a period running from the early centuries of the Christian era, that is, when Indian Buddhism started seeping onto Chinese soil, down to early Tang times that is the 7th, 8th centuries of the Christian era, when Buddhism can be said to be, in a way, overhauled from India to China. So one of the morning presentations will be about Xuanzang, the famous Chinese Buddhist monk who took the trip all the way to India to collect some Buddhist scriptures at the source, and who is shown here on the conference poster on his way back to China, preceded by an Indian elephant. I mean, the elephant is here to you know, make you understand that Quanzong is on his way back from India. And this is a mural fresco dating back to the Tang period, painted in one of the caves at Dunhuang in northwestern China, that is on the famous Silk Road. Then the four presentations of the afternoon will take the story into much later times, from the late 17th to the early 20th centuries, when India came under British rule, while China came under Manchu rule. So in those centuries, let's say the pre-modern and into the early modern era, these two areas, India and China, shared some questioning about, of course, Western modernity, while keeping up some interactions in various forms, and sometimes, you know, not very pleasant forms or unexpected forms. So I think, you know, I'll stop here my general presentation, but I would address my special thanks to the Fondation Hugo du Collège de France for its financial support, to Mr. Sanjit Kumar, who is sitting here, for his help in the scientific organization of this conference, and to Madame Sophie Bosser, whom you may have seen in the at the reception, for her efficient management of the infrastructure that made this conference at all possible and running smoothly, at least so far. So thank you for your attention. Thank you for being here on this nice, cooler day. And I first open the floor to Madame Béatrice Laridon, who is assistant professor at the University of Paris, Diderot. So whose title is quoting the Confucian Analects, in Chinese the Lun Yu, in defense of Indian Buddhism, an exegetical study of Confucius' utterances in the Mozi Li Huo Lun.